on 882 6PR. This is Peter Bell. Talking gardening for DeSacco Mulch. Mulching is made easier. DeSacco's new Triple C Eco Bale.
Yes, 2:07, time to talk gardening. 9221882 is the number to call if you want to chat with Sue McDougall. She's here in the studio to take your call. So get busy, 9221882. Hi, Sue.
Hello, Peter. How are you going?
I'm going very, very well. Not as well as gardens are going right now. This is prime growing
You got it. See, you are in touch with the environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, warm
sunny day. Yeah, and a bit of rain today
certainly
and over
is.
The weekend.
Yeah, it certainly is. And rain forecast on and off for the next 3 or 4 days. So it is fantastic. Yesterday was a bit of a shock, wasn't it? A bit warm.
For the plants too, do you think?
For the plants, it is like that. They're not used to it. And we have had a very dry winter. And so, of course, officially spring now and we're getting lots of rain, which is just fantastic. So as much rain as we can have at the moment. The growing conditions, just noticed in the last few weeks, everything has just bolted, absolutely gone crazy. So it is prime growing weather. You're exactly right. It's one of those finishing off rains that hopefully gets into the past the Darling Scarp, so to speak, and heads in further, because desperately need it to finish off at this time of the year, but also finish off our gardens, because we want that moisture to get right into the soil at the moment.
Now, before we take everyone's calls on 9221882 and talk gardening, you've got a pretty exciting competition that you want to tell everyone about.
We have. Can I use the time on Thursday afternoon to talk about the competition we've got on the weekend?
Go on. You're the star of the station. You can do what you like, so you know that.
Well, I haven't got my right-hand man here too, so I should have invited him as well. Rod and I are having a Weeding Women competition to give away. So thanks to the support from Weeding Women, we are looking for those people who are garden proud, who really, really like their garden.
Right.
So who are would like maybe some help, the services of Weeding Women for 12 months?
For 12 months?
For 12 months, that's right.
Well, so how do you enter this competition?
All you need to do is go to see. Oh, glad you asked.
I'm reading off a script.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, that wasn't in the script. Is go to 6PR website and go to the competitions and look at win and follow your way through, and you'll be able to upload a photo and a little paragraph on why you think that you should win.
I'm suggesting here, Sue, and I this is just me coming to the conclusion that what you're looking for is not someone who hasn't touched their backyard for years and has just let it become overgrown and ugly and everything else. Is someone who is actually garden proud, but might appreciate a year off and let the experts come in and help them out for a year,
and
then would continue after that to keep the garden in impeccable condition.
Exactly right. Exactly. Right. So if someone's they've got a busy year coming up, or something's happening, or they've hurt their foot or their leg or whatever, but they love their garden, because no matter how gorgeous your garden is, as you know, I'm sure weeds just appear, don't they?
They do.
Unfortunately.
9221882. Let's talk gardening. Let's get to the phone line, Sue McDougall. Brad's in Hammond Park. Go for it, Brad.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, Sue. How are you?
Well, thanks.
That's good. At your recommendation, I've put my liquid blood and bone on my garlic.
Yep.
And I've got the best crop I've had in years.
Brilliant.
Or the best crop I've ever had.
Yeah.
Now, is it time now to do the
potassium? Yeah, certainly is. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So from September on, after yesterday's warm weather, rain today, start with sulphate of potash. So if you can get soluble sulphate of potash, fantastic, or you might need to get a solution that's got high potassium, so fruiting and flowering. And now it's time to develop the bulb. Oh, so jealous. That's exciting. Well done. Good on you.
They're looking really good. So I've got the liquid potash.
Yeah.
And how often do we do it?
Every 10 days, but that doesn't usually work out. So every fortnight is about the best time you can work on what we will be working through. If it's been really particularly hot and you'll find that they are just bolting away, you know, if you can get to it every 10 days, great. But every fortnight is usually about the easiest way to work it.
Okay, cool.
So thanks, Brad.
Even better.
Brad, so when do you do the garlic crop spraying?
Well, I'll do it every 10 days, like Sue said.
Right, okay.
Well done. No,
very good. I'll just miss that bit, Brad. Thank you very much for your call. Sorry, I should have been paying more attention. Rob in Joondana. G'day, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hello, how are you? Sue, I've got some pine trees, and I'm not sure what to do with them, because there's a few branches that have gone, well, they've died.
Yeah.
And slowly it's just one branch that dies and it's another one and they're really starting to rot. So is there anything I can do?
Rob, what type of pine trees are they? Do you know?
Geez, lone pine, like they're quite thin and tall.
Oh, so they might be pencil pine, are they?
Like
or skyrocket? Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they are, pencil pines, gold or green foliage or the green, or the grey-green?
Like yeah, dark green.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are sempervirens. Now, sempervirens being a pencil pine, they are susceptible to what we call conifer canker. Now, conifer canker gets in under the bark and causes dieback of branches. It comes when plants get stressed, if we've had hot weather, the conditions haven't been quite right, something's happened. And if you start to get dieback, but one of the indicators of canker is when you look closely, you will see blackening around the stem. You might see the problem gets in under the bark, so if there's been insect attack, you'll find that the trees go backwards, and in the end they eventually die, and no matter how you cut them back, they don't shoot away, and it's just a decline of the tree. There's a few things that you can do and you can try. If they aren't too tall, you can spray them with phosphoric acid or just phosject, which is to the point of runoff. There is evidence to show that that's actually a really good control to help them compact the effects of conifer canker, and or the other way is injecting the plant. So around the trunk, you actually get a spring-loaded injection. So you drill a hole, you put actually fill up a spring-loaded syringe, basically that's for tree surgery, and then it just goes into the plant gradually. So the phosphoric acid or phosject, you use a solution of that. Other than that, it's not a lot we can do, Rob. Once I usually get to that stage.
What was that chemical called again?
It's phosject. It's actually phosphoric acid. So you'll have to find it at a nursery. We'll be able to help you with it. They might have to get it in for you.
Okay.
Phosphoric acid is the same. It's for anti-rot. It's for rotting. It's for phytophthora. It's used a lot for avocado in the avocado industry for dieback. So
it's quite strange because my neighbour had a heap of pine trees as well, and his all died off, and it wasn't. And that's happened probably up to about 3-4 years ago.
Yep.
And then one died, two died, three died.
Yep.
Before you know it, 10 of his
yep,
died.
Yeah, that's right.
And I've got some way on the other side of the property, which have been good up until now. It looks like they've got the same disease.
Yeah, that's right. It's canker that causes it, and it's virtually a decline of the plant over a period of time. And the stress could have happened last year. It could have happened Christmas time. It's just something that's caused it.
Thanks a lot for your help.
Thanks, Rob.
No worries, Rob. Thanks for your call. 9221 882. We've got a few lines free. If you want to ask Sue McDougall a question, give us a call. Josephine in Perth. Good afternoon.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Well.
That's good. Sue, I have about 12 magnolias, little gems.
Yep.
Out of 12, two are only surviving.
Oh.
They're all weepy. And I've actually had to pull up about 16 around my pool area at the beginning of the year because they were all droopy, apart from maybe one or two.
Yeah, when you say but droopy, what happens when they're droopy?
I've got no leaves on them, very few leaves, the leaves are just weeping. They're not vibrant and, you know, brown on the underneath and glossy green on the outside.
Yeah,
and on the top.
Yeah. Are they stretchy? Like, are they crunchy or are they still quite viable, pliable, I should say?
A bit of both.
Yeah,
a bit of both. But, I mean, I've had to pull them out in the back around my pool and I've got them at the front, so I get the morning sun.
Yeah.
And I've got two that are growing great and then the rest, I'm thinking of taking them all up again.
And
I've tried everything. I've, you know, soil improver, blood and bone. I've just done,
Have you grown, can you grow anything else in that area?
No, I couldn't grow my roses. They've replaced my standard roses.
What happened to the standard roses?
They just died.
Did the same?
Going. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had the soil tested? I was going to say soil tested.
No, that I haven't done.
That may be worth it. You might just have to do that, actually.
Yeah, where can I get that
done? Go to the ag department. Tell them you want what you want and the problem you've got. Can they recommend somewhere?
Okay.
And then go from there. Now, it might be worth it if you've been able to grow. Look, Magnolia Little Gem is something that should grow. Now, they've been growing in the outdoor areas, industrial areas, they grow in pots. You should be able to grow them. They're not particularly tricky. Once I get established, I'd say, oh, look, if one or two died, I'd go, you know, replace them. But if that whole lot's died, you say you've done everything, I'd be starting basically. And if you haven't been able to grow roses there either, I'd be looking at making, you know, if you make sure the water soaked in, you've got everything else, all those things right, I think we might have to test the soil. You've not seen any orange toadstools or anything like that come up on the soil? It's not really soggy, doesn't smell mouldy.
And they don't get that much water. I mean, with the rain, because I've got eaves, my veranda sort of overlaps, but I always hand water.
Wait, so after you've watered, you dig down and make sure the water's soaking in. You measure how much water goes in. Okay, we need to have a look at the soil.
Turn the soil over just to get it aerated as well.
Yeah, but don't want to do too much because, you know, you're cutting off the fine feeder roots, but we do need to. I'd be looking at testing the soil for pathogens then.
Okay, Josephine, thank you very much. 9221882, Paul in Brigadoon. Hello,
Hi,
Paul.
Guys. Yeah.
Hello.
Look, I'm just in the process of putting a polytunnel up.
Yeah.
I'm putting raised garden beds in there.
Yeah.
I just want to know, before I put all the soil in there, would it be better for polythene or that weed matting?
I'd actually do weed matting in that situation. If you're lining the raised beds, is that what you're thinking of doing? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a couple of things. If you were going to do plastic, you'd be looking, setting them up as wicking beds. So you set it up so that then it doesn't drain away. You end up in capillary action and you get the stones on the bottom and then weed mat and do it that way. But if you're just putting soil in and want to do the whole lot, I'd be definitely using weed mat. And the reason is that then the salts don't build up in that area, Paul. No matter what a fertilizer you've got, and also you're getting nutrients going through, but the salts don't build up. You end up with a certain amount of sour soil if you do plastic at the bottom.
Yeah.
Weed matting is what you want. It will drain away.
One other thing.
Yeah.
There's a guy down the road who's got a load of horse manure.
Yep.
Is that okay to put in there?
Oh, go for it. Absolutely go for it. Let it compost down. Yeah, not many people use horse manure and in the form it is because it's dry. It becomes really dry. But horse manure, once it compost down, is, there's a few weeds, but that's not the end of the world. Use it.
Yep.
The worms get into it. The worms love it. If you can set up, you've got space to compost, go for it. You've got this resource that I'm sure they'll even deliver it for you if you say you want it. And just use it all up because it's going to, once it's to the next stage of composting, brilliant. So even you can put it in a raised bed, get the worms happening in the raised bed and really, really have a bed that you're just composting it down
in. I can use it straight away.
Well,
and plant straight away.
Well, you can, but it's actually better if it's compost a little bit. It's you'll find that that's when it's best value.
How long?
It needs to go sort of black and crumbly. So if it's damp, you might be looking 6 weeks or so once it's started to break down. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Good on you, Paul. Thanks for your call. We're with Sue McDougall. We're talking gardening. 9221882.
You're listening to Afternoons for Slater and Gordon Lawyers, supporters of the Asbestos Disease Society. West Coast.
Martin by hand. Shuey, 40 out. Straightens up and picks the first of the night. What a start for the Eagles.
Hawthorn.
Here's Popolo. Up to Suckling. Costa Body snap. Magnificent goal. Becomes the ninth. Goal kicker for Hawthorn.
It's Friday night finals football live from Domain Stadium. Join Carl Langdon, Mark Reddings and Peter Bell from 5 as the Eagles face the Hawks in the second qualifying final. 6 PR is finals football. The 2015 AFL season is proudly presented by Perth Window and Door Replacement Company and DeFreitas and Ryan Property Consultants.
At Pain Away, we're about the pain. The whole pain, nothing but the pain. Everyday Aussies to elite professional athletes are using easy-to-apply Pain Away arthritis and sports creams and sprays. At Pain Away, we believe so much in all our pain relief products that we offer a 100% money-back guarantee on all products purchased. So if you suffer joint or muscular pain, try Pain Away.
Pain Away products are available in all leading pharmacies across Australia. Use only as directed. Always read the label. If pain persists, see a healthcare professional.
Foxtel presents the Rugby World Cup 2015, where helmets clash.
There's no helmets in rugby.
What?
But Fox Sports does have every Rugby World Cup game live.
Right, yes. With every touchdown.
No touchdowns, just tries.
I am trying.
No, look, every game of the Rugby World Cup is part of Foxtel's sports pack with 9 dedicated sports channels and no lock-in contract.
So you could say, without Foxtel, the Rugby World Cup is incomplete?
Nice. Join today. Residential customers only.
When the boss wanted new cleaners, we were worried about the size. With a few commercial properties, building sites and a high rise, we needed professional and reliable in a company that knew the meaning, and after searching, we found them. We chose Diamond Commercial Cleaning. Specialising in difficult jobs, high-rise windows to vacuuming stairs, they even travel remotely. They've done it for over 25 years. If you're looking for a commercial cleaner for all buildings old and new, choose Perth's trusted experts, diamondcommercialcleaning.com.au.
Wherever you are, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill.
Yeah, no worries. We're on the second page of Google.
All right. Forget about it then.
Hello?
Don't get left behind. Get your business onto Google AdWords search engine marketing with Titan Digital, Google AdWords' premier partner in Perth. With a managed Google AdWords campaign, we'll help you get the traffic your business needs. So Google Titan Digital and start today.
I found you.
If your life's been turned upside down, you need a good lawyer. Someone experienced who'll listen, someone to guide you through the jargon, someone to take care of all the legal stuff so you can concentrate on getting your life back on track. If you need a good lawyer, contact our friend at Slater & Gordon on 1800 555 777. That's 1800 555 777. Slater & Gordon, they can't change what's happened, but they can help with what's ahead.
It's half price special savings time at Coles. Save on Streets Magnum 4 or 6 pack, half price at just $3.99. And Cadbury Family Blocks, just $2.49. That's half price. Save on half price specials at Coles.
How many times have you heard, they just don't make things like they used to? Well, there's an exception. Danmar Homes, who will individually design your home, big or small, with double clay brick, just like the good old days. Danmar Homes are Perth's traditional builders and will provide you with a quality home just the way you want it. Danmar's experienced design team will take care of it all from start to finish. Take your plans along, or Danmar Homes are happy to design a beautiful home for you. DanmarHomes.com 9445 7833.
Talking gardening for DeSacco Mulch. Mulching is made easier. DeSacco's new Triple C Eco Bale.
So many calls, so little time. Let's get back to them. We're with Sue McDougal. We're talking gardening. Mike in Sorrento. Go for it.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Sue, we want to develop some community gardens for people with disabilities.
Yep.
And where do we go to get some technical training in things like, you know, the basics of pH and NPK and, you know, propagation and, you know, managing some risk and those sort of things. Real hands-on practical training. What would be your recommendation?
What's already existing, I'd be looking at training providers that be even TAFE, see what they can do. If that is that sort of formal training, or you want it in one-day workshops or that sort of thing,
well,
Mark?
I looked at the TAFE stuff, and it seemed to me to be a little bit
too much
long-winded. And we didn't need a certificate necessarily.
No. You just want to get some ideas. Well, we'll say anyone who's listening who actually delivers that sort of stuff, people can formulate a training for what you do. Actually, I did, when I did my training and assessment certificate, we actually did a propagation workshop. I had all the people who were ag scientists, and I taught them how to do propagation. So it is possible to do. They're the sort of little things that you need to do. You need someone who's got the skills and also has got the training and assessment skills. So, and then get together. But I'll put my thinking cap on and see if I know anyone who does actually do that, that's tailored specifically to what you want. But I imagine small groups, Mike, is it?
Groups? Look, yeah. In the first instance, it'll be we'll get some volunteers and whatever, and we'll get them to give them the
advocates,
basics. And then once it gets rolling and whatever, you know.
I might talk to a couple of contacts I have in the horticulture industry and just see who's actually doing that sort of thing for you and give you a buzz if you like.
Thanks, Mike. We'll get your number and Sue can put a thinking cap on. Wayne in Greenwood, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you two?
Hello, Wayne.
Sue, beginning of autumn, I bought some garlic, Australian garlic, from Coles, and it was like too small to actually cut up, so I just stuck it in the front garden.
Yep.
How do I know when they're ready to...
Ah, you need to catch up with, it was Brad, wasn't it? Brad from Hammond Park was our first caller because he's doing an amazing job with garlic. But how you know garlic is ready, it goes through this process beginning of autumn. Actually, Wayne, is the perfect time because that's your growth time. And then so it grows through till now it grows and you get this incredible growth, really strong plants. And then they put their effort into developing the bulbs, and the garlic cloves or the whole cloves will be ready to pick in about November, middle of November, end of November.
Okay. Now, so, the leaves are starting to go yellow.
Yeah, that's a bit, I'd be looking at, have you fed them?
Fertilizer?
Sort of, Yeah, sort of. Okay. So with garlic at the moment, liquid fertilizing every 10 days or 14 days, so every 10 to 14 days is what you're looking at doing. But high potassium at the moment is what we want to get for the bulbs. But by the sounds of it, the leaves starting to go yellow, there is a fungal problem that gets onto the leaves. The older leaves go a bit yellow. Happy with that? But if they rot and fall over, that's not a good thing. You can still even harvest garlic when it's green and use it when it's green, but it doesn't store.
So November's the time.
November's the time to harvest it. That's right.
Thank you very much, Lee.
Enjoy. Take care.
Good on you, Wayne. Passad in Piara Waters. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, I just wanted to know, like, I have an ornamental tree that's Manchurian pear.
Yeah.
It's like, before winter, all the leaves were there and everything.
Yeah.
But after the leaves were fallen, it's not coming up again.
Don't worry. Don't panic.
Passad, can we just get you to turn down your radio in the background there for a moment, and then Sue will get on with her response.
Passad, you'll find that pear trees are incredibly late. You'll find that they are – mine haven't started to shoot yet. Well, actually, only in the last couple of days, the buds have started to swell and shoot. Out of all the ornamental trees, pears are late. You'll find that usually they come back. But the easiest way you can tell is if they're still alive is scrape the bark, scrape the stem and see if they will, if it's green underneath. If it's green underneath, you don't have to worry. And then if it's quite bendy and flexible, that's a good thing. But if it snaps off, of course, something's happened and it hasn't come out of dormancy. That's when I'd look at the base of the roots, make sure there's no bark peeling or splitting and it hasn't rotted at base level. But pears are always late. Don't panic about pears. They are usually the last. Pears and apples are the last things to shoot away from the winter dormancy.
Okay. Is there any fertilizer should I use?
Just a little bit of blood and bone at the moment. So if you put blood and bone and controlled release fertilizer.
Okay. All right. And is there any time for another question?
Yeah, quickly, Passad, we got a couple of other callers, but go for it.
I got an apple tree which come out from the seeds.
Yeah.
It's grown up very well.
Yeah. Yes.
Does it, is it going to happen fruit?
Have some fruit? Yeah, well, you never know, actually. Ideally, apples are those trees that need cross-pollinating and selected varieties to get them to fruit. Now, if there's another apple tree around the place and it happens to pollinate, this one might be an amazing fruiter. It might be terrible. How they get new varieties is they plant hundreds of thousands of apples and go through a process of elimination to get one variety. So you might be lucky.
Okay, thanks, Passad. To Sarah in Baldivis. Hi, Sarah.
Hello there. Just a question. My husband very kindly brought me a composting bin.
Oh.
And even though it has got instructions on it, I'm still like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I know I don't have to put any meat into it.
Yeah.
We're trying to go back to basics. So we've just planted out a lovely vegetable patch.
Yeah, great.
And we have a couple of chickens in the garden.
Yep.
What can I put into the bin? Like, if I just put my composting bucket, which I have in the kitchen, so I'm putting all my scraps in there. Do I just kick that in?
Yeah.
Or do I add anything else to it?
Is it a bin that's closed lid, completely enclosed? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So, yes, you do need it. Well, otherwise you end up with this sloppy mess and you'll hate it. So, as a general guide, when we're talking compost, equal parts dry to wet. So, if you put a bucket of your veggie scraps in, just have some chicken straw, there's some straw or some coarse weeds or something, and put the same volume in next to it. And what will happen is that, and then even a handful every now and again, or you can put sheep manure, a little bit of sheep manure or chook manure that you've put from your chickens in, and then aerating, it's important. So if you just think about weeds, dry weeds, clippings, leaves, all of that are your dry matter. Your veggie scraps are your wet. So equal parts there. Once you get the bacteria happening, once you get the compost, whenever you empty it out, just leave some of that compost there because it's full of really good bacteria that will start the composting process really quickly. So you need almost a starter system there as well. So if it turns really smelly, you know that there's not enough air there and it's too sloppy, you might need to put some dry matter in there. So you'll be chasing long clippings. You'll be chasing everything from your neighbours. Absolutely. Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
And the other just very quick question. We have a really lovely red gum tree out the front.
Nice.
Every cat in the neighbourhood is using it as a scratching pole. Will it harm the tree or is there anything I can do to stop them from doing it?
Try some cayenne pepper around it. That might help. It won't harm the tree in the end, but it still just doesn't look as good. And eventually over time. But that's because it's probably the only tree that's left, is it? So
probably.
Yeah, so cayenne pepper, I'd sprinkle some of that around.
Okay,
thanks, Sarah. Have a great afternoon. To Sam in Kundula, final caller for this segment. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter. Good afternoon, sir. Is it safe, please, to plant vegetables in those foam boxes you usually use for fish?
Yes, it is. After a while when they break down, they're not very particularly good, but as far as they're not taken out, nothing's taken up by the plant, and while it hasn't started to break down, yes, it is safe to use.
Thanks, Sam. Good on you. Good to see him using the boxes for something else. Yeah.
Why
and
not?
Sue, thank you.
Take care, Peter.
Sue McDougall, that was, we were talking gardening, same time next week. It's